Jesus, I just want to thank you this morning that so many years ago, as you spoke to your disciples and gave them charge to go to Jerusalem and wait, that you were willing to go back to your Father, but you didn't leave us as orphans. You didn't leave us to fend for ourselves and trying to figure out this Christian walk by ourselves, but you said the Holy Spirit will come. Holy Spirit, as we speak about you this morning, thank you that you are here and that your presence is here and that you minister and speak to every one of us here this morning. Let your word accomplish what you sent it out to do, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we were preparing this morning, I thought I want to speak to you about a person this morning that I met about 34 years ago. Since then, I've got to know him quite well, got to walk with him, speak to him, journey with him, had many adventures, got to know stuff, learn stuff, messed up some. You know, relationship has not always been great, probably mostly because of my stupidity and my own foolishness. But 34 years later, I can say I still know this person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. And I think so often when it comes to Day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, it can so easily become about an experience, or can I say weird? But I want to say to you this morning, we are speaking about a person of the Godhead this morning. Not a force. It's not the Star Wars theme, the force be with you. This is a person that we walk with. And you know, for us that has been Christians for a long time, I don't know, maybe we forget that. Sometimes we're so used to him just being there that we forget he's a person. And I think for me that's the first point I want to make just this morning, is that we are not dealing with a thing, a something. You know, we've been married 31 years. I can tell you pretty much anything about her except what's going on in her head. It remains a mystery because we know women, yeah, that's spaghetti, man. It just, yeah, there's lots of stuff in there. They throw curveballs. You're thinking we're talking about this, and then we're not on that topic a long time ago. But I know her intimately. I know her personally. And you know why? Because we've journeyed together for many, many years. We've had some awesome times. We've seen some great things. We've been through some deep valleys. Groot gemors. But we know one another because it doesn't matter what we faced, we journeyed together. And I think, you know, when it comes to Holy Spirit, that often in our religiousness, we try and fix stuff instead of leaning on him always. Knowing him as a person, as opposed to, you know, maybe just speaking in tongues or praying or whatever, but journeying with Holy Spirit as a person. So for me, as we talk about this, you know, as I was preparing, I thought, how can I speak about this? It's almost like I'm speaking about my best friend, someone that I've journeyed with for a long time, and I'm sure I'm going to journey with a long time still to come, if the Lord wills me to stay on this earth for that long. So I hope you get that. And that drops deep in your spirit. If you've been saved for any amount of time, I pray that will be a good reminder to you just of who is with us. You know, Jesus ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to come and minister, to help, to be with you and me this morning. But let me continue and ask you maybe this question. What is the most precious gift you have ever received? What is the most precious gift you have ever received? Is it a car? Is it a house? Is it jewelry? What is the most, maybe just tell someone next to you, what's the most precious gift that you have ever received? Don't go all spiritual now on me. I'm not asking you go Christian on me here now. I'm talking about real stuff, okay? Rechte ding. What is the most precious thing? Just tell someone there quickly. Some husbands are finding out stuff they never knew now, but in any case. Yeah. Okay, and what was the reason for receiving this precious gift? Was it a reward? Was it because you deserved it? You know, was it because someone just loved you so much that you got it? You know, maybe for some ladies it's that groot clip there on that finger. You know, I don't know. But I don't know about you, but gifts are lekker. Man, I love getting gifts. I like giving them too, but I love receiving them more. Yeah, that, you know, Lorette, when she opens a gift, it's almost like torture, man. Nothing can tear. Every piece of tape needs to come off very gently and easily. You know, and I'm thinking, goeie genade, can you just rip it open? I want to see what's inside. So I enjoy gifts, okay? So I do. I repent. But no, don't. What is the most precious gift you've received from God here on earth? And I think if I think of that, then I would echo what you were saying. But I think it's my wife. It's probably one of the most precious gifts that I've received from my father this side of heaven. And subsequently, my sons, obviously, is probably one of the biggest gifts I have received. I've received many answers to prayers, of which Lorette's one. That was a 9-month long prayer. I have received many breakthroughs, victories, and even earthly possessions from God this side of heaven. I do consider myself blessed, and I thank God for everything that He has done. And in this journey over this 30-odd years that I've been serving Christ, I've got to know my Father as a generous God. And even sometimes when I don't match up to His standards, it doesn't change who He is and His love towards me and how He sees me. Even though sometimes I don't think He still sees me that way, He still loves me very much. I've got to know Him as a God who loves me more than I can understand. And He shows it to me in so many ways. And even some of them I've just mentioned. And in Scripture, I read so much of this love that He shows towards me and the things He has made possible for me. He shows me His love through the promises and the things that He speaks about in His Word. And when I read them and meditate on Him and think about them, I can just respond in what way, and that is just to love Him more. James 1 verse 17 to 18 says the following, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above." I think sometimes we wonder about that one. But I want to say to you, Scripture is true. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change due to change. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of all His creatures. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And I want to encourage you this morning, if If something has happened in your life and you are wondering about it, maybe even doubting it, whether God is still good, or maybe his life and his heart is towards you, then I want to just remind you that He is a God who gives good gifts. I think sometimes as Christians, we lose sight of the fact that we have an enemy of our souls that very seriously wants to do one thing, and that is mess up our relationship with the God who loves us. But it doesn't change the truth that He is a God who gives good gifts. I've also learned in my life that, you know, I must just often turn around and look back and become aware of everything that He has done to this point. And again, just want to encourage you maybe just to go sit and write down a few things of what He has done. I shared that, you know, I think, let me read this rather. John 3 verse 16 to 17, you know the scripture very well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. This truth has not changed. This truth has not changed. This is still God's heart for each one of us. And I think the biggest spiritual gift that I've received from God is definitely my salvation, is definitely the fulfillment of the scripture in my life, where I met a God who saved me, who loved on me so that I would become reconciled with Him, that I will not taste eternal death because of the fact that He has loved me. My salvation, the forgiveness of my sins, eternal life, reconciliation with Him, the unconditional love that comes from this act of God has forever changed my life, has forever altered who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And then, to top it all off, God just went further in the fact that He gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 38 to 9. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Can I just pause there? There's a repenting, and there's a baptizing. Often people say, yeah, you know, I'm not ready to be baptized. I almost want to say, then, have you really repented? Especially from your own way and your own way of doing. Because even Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples and baptize them. It doesn't seem like, you know, this is something that should take a long time. And Peter does the check before he starts ministering. He says, have you repented and have you been baptized? Yes or no? So if that's you, if you have not repented of your sins and you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then we can help you with that. I don't know what the temperature is of my pool now, brother, but wetsuit style. At least it's not Bloberg, so we'll be fine. Okay? And then he continues and he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you. So that's the first thing I want you to hear. It is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. It is for you. He is for you. You and me. And everyone that He calls. And in our discipleship, I want to encourage us that we minister this. That we teach this. That we help people in this. That they are not on this journey alone. But God loved them so much. If they repent, if they are baptized, then man, that gift of the Holy Spirit is for them. It's a free gift. No labor needed. No payment required. The free gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 1 verse 8, which we obviously know quite well, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. And I think this is the amazing thing when we start walking with Holy Spirit, is that we so often see things happen in our lives that we know is not us. We know it wasn't me doing it or bringing it to pass or making it happen. It's simply His presence. It's simply sometimes just His love for the people standing opposite us, that He ministers through us to those people. He displays His power and His glory through us. And you know, when we often think of discipleship, we are often scared of it. If we say, let's go do evangelism, you know, let's walk out of here now, let's go do that, more often than not, most of us go like, oh, got a very busy day. You know, sure, can't stay for this now. I think I'm going to go. And you know what? This is where we lean into Holy Spirit. This is where we trust Him, that the fact that I'm going, He goes with me. That the person of the Holy Spirit goes with me. And He is more willing to minister to them than I am. And He will give us what we need to say, speak, minister. It's, you know, just that step in boldness, just going for it. Standing in the queue at the Pick and Pay, and He says, that one. Yeah. And suddenly you go like, yeah, what about the people? What's going to happen? You know, what if nothing happens? What if something happens? You will receive power. Saints, I think for us as believers in the modern day, I want to say, can we believe that again? Can we believe that the day of Pentecost so many years ago is for us right now? For us to walk in that power, to be witnesses. Not passive, quiet, saying nothing witnesses. That's not a witness. That's just a statue. I look like Jesus. Can you see it? Often we say, what's that saying? You know, you must be a Christian and sometimes use words. Something like that. I can't remember what that saying is. But I want to say, can we please speak? Use your words. Because that's the very thing that you're scared of, isn't it? But I don't know. So if you don't know how to lead people to Christ, watch this space. We're going to train you in the next couple of weeks. Why? Because we're supposed to be witnesses, right? We should go. We should be bold. We should be bold in our ministry to an unbeliever. That's why God came. That's why John 3:16 happened. It's a beautiful scripture. We often quote it, but we often don't apply it in the way that we allow God to love the world through us. Yet I am, Lord, send someone else. Here I am, Jesus, use the person next to me. I'll watch them and I'll encourage them. See, receiving the power of Holy Spirit is about living a life that it is influenced by Him. A life that is steered by Him. He's the wind in the sails of a ship, our life's little boat. You know, you can stand in the dock all you want, but unless you hoist the sails and you release the anchors, your ship's going nowhere. You can stand behind that wheel while it's anchored in the harbor and you can turn it all you want. You're not going to turn left or right. You have to leave the harbor. If you want to experience the power of Holy Spirit in your life, leave the harbor. Leave your safe space. Even leave the way that you think you are. Because often one of our excuses is, yeah, I'm not that way. You know, that is not me. I'll never do that. Ooh, yeta. So who's in charge then? Me or Holy Spirit? So am I saying to him then that you can use me in any way, but I'm not doing that? Is that a life surrendered in submission to him? Is that a life as a living sacrifice on the altar to say, hey, listen, you all will go like now, some of the introverts are going to go, Kobus, but you're an extrovert. You have no problem in doing this. Can all the extroverts raise their hands? Come, repent now. Yes, extrovert, bro. Yeah, you dug the... Who likes people? Who likes being around people? Who's the people that when you walk into the party, stuff starts happening, man?
Not me.
You're right. So the introverts go like, that's you. He's speaking to you. You should go. It's you grit back people. You must all go and preach the gospel. No, it's not. It's the quiet way that an introvert just speaks and delivers the word. They more often, hits that heart in a way that an extrovert can't. You know, we as extroverts, we all fluff, man. It's like just flags and stuff and it's trumpets and, you know, we're all over the place. But the one thing about extroverts often is the case is that we are not very deep. We all the extroverts now come and we pray for you. But the introverts are so deep. They can hit a nail on the head. They say that thing and everybody goes like, whoa. Yeah, I feel it here, man. So can I just, if you consider yourself an introvert, live a life influenced by the Holy Spirit nonetheless. He's not going to make you an extrovert. I know you're scared of that. But just let him control you. Let him influence your life for the glory of God. See, when I receive the power of the Holy Spirit, he helps me overcome challenges, even my own stuff. The way I see myself or the way I think I should live. He helps me to resist temptation. He guides me, he teaches me. He helps me to reflect on the love of God and on his grace towards me and to others. When he comes into my life, there's a softness that comes through that and a willingness to love and to risk like I would never have had. You know, when before I got saved, I remember it was about me, man. It was about me. It's all about me, Jesus. It's just me. No. Now it's different. It's not about me. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm so glad for that little word there that says all. It's all. No one is exempt. No one in this case was exempted from the Holy Spirit just coming upon them, touching them. And we know that day that they changed that city after they walked out of that room. The gift of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit is the biggest, most life-changing gift that every believer can receive, that we can walk in, that we can live in. It's the one thing that changes, it's the one person, that changes everything about me, yet uses me just as I am. It's incredible what it does with a life that is just offered to you. Now, the Greek word for power, and you would know this, is the word dunamis, which means divine ability. You shall receive power, exploding power within your life. And I guess then I have to check, am I walking in that? Am I experiencing that? Maybe I have had the Holy Spirit come into my life and prompting me to do stuff, and I shushed him. None of you, of course. I know there's times that I went, not doing that. Because I was fearful. I definitely weren't in faith. But Holy Spirit, that power that He brings to you and me is dunamis, divine ability. The disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit, were able to heal the sick, the lame, the blind. They demonstrated God's power in a great and powerful way in Jerusalem and Judea, and things happened. Despite actually facing a lot of persecution, the Holy Spirit used them very powerfully to accomplish many, many different things. So we receive this power to minister, to walk, to live in a very powerful way. You are not a normal human being, I want to say, because of the one that dwells within you. Acts 19, verse 1 to 3. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Who did he find? Some disciples, which means they were followers of Christ, right? He says, check this. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? When last have you asked that question of someone that you know? They say they're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Junior Amps, are you disciples of Jesus Christ? Right? Then the question that Paul is asking us here is, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? He said, and they said to him, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And then verse 6 of chapter 19 says, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. You know, I think in my Christian walk, I've often realized that, especially when it comes to a church context like this, the one thing that we as Christians fail to do, if someone walks through that door, we often assume certain things are in place. We assume that they've received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We secondly assume that they have been baptized. We assume that they have been Holy Spirit baptized. We assume that they have done a few things as a Christian, but we never ask. And I want to encourage you this morning to, like Paul, to ask the question, hey, listen, where are you at? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized? Are you living by that power? Are you being a witness? What is your life doing for Jesus Christ? Now, when it comes to receiving the Holy Spirit, I've got a few points there that I just want to quickly run about past you. And it says, the first one is, He is a gift, not a reward. You have done nothing to receive the Holy Spirit. It was simply Jesus sending him after he went to heaven, and we can receive him. Secondly, you don't need to be afraid that you're going to receive anything else than the Holy Spirit. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, and I just want to say to the junior amps, you are not too young. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are not too young. Today is your day. That's why we ask you to come sit here. Okay? Holy Spirit loves you as much as He loves the adults. Can you believe that? That's pretty awesome. And yeah, I thought I was the only special one. Nah. And now I realize He loves the lot of you as much as He loves me. And He wants to live in you as much as He loves. So don't be afraid that when we ask for the Holy Spirit, that we're going to receive something false or evil. Right? The third point, your mind will not understand what you are saying when you speak in a tongue. When I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that I just received initially one word. It was weird, man. I was like, whoa, what's that? Didn't understand it. But I can tell you, when we pray in tongues, we pray by the Spirit, right? So, okay. you are not mocking or cursing Jesus, okay? Scripture says if we ask Him for a bread, He's not going to give us a rock. You are in complete control of your spirit. Therefore, it is an act of your will. You choose to receive the Holy Spirit. At the same time, however, you are not turning God on or off. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, it is not like I can switch Him on and off. It's me submitting control to Him of my life as well. You do the speaking. So often when we pray for people, they wait for something to happen. But it's that step of faith that you do the speaking. You take that step to speak. It's not going to be angels or so some supernatural force. It is you giving the utterance. He gives you the utterance, the motivation in you to speak. But it's that step of faith. You know, a step of faith is like when you're standing. Let's say this is a cliff, right? Can you see the cliff? Come on, you must imagine now with me. I'm standing on this high mountain. There's like nothing in front of me here. And you say, you can just walk. And I'm going to go like, are you crazy? Faith is knowing there's nothing and still stepping out. And it's often so beautiful how God just catches us when we step out and we trust Him.